SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Labs are right here on Sports Grid. It's the early line. It's hour number two. I'm Kevin Wallace. I'm joined by Donnie Wrightside and a present Donnie Wrightside. Mm-hmm. Very here and now Donnie Wrightside. Certainly not somebody that's off reading up on MLS standings and getting familiar with the league. I don't know, Donnie. You might turn into an MLS guy with all the information that you're procuring over the break.
Yeah, exactly. I could usually start with the jokes like, when did Philadelphia get a team in the MLS? But we won't go there. We don't need to.
No, yeah, we won't go there, I guess. Once again, just to set it up here, it is game number three of the Stanley Cup playoffs. A 2-0 series lead right now for the Vegas Golden Knights as they have protected home ice. They sit at a minus 550 price here on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the entire thing. It is a home favorite status, though, tonight for Florida DRS. Just quickly here, as we kind of look at where things sit right now, you know, with the... Again, just the Panthers obviously have drawn a tons of comparison to the Miami Heat, both, you know, kind of the last team to crack into the playoffs and these improbable runs. The difference, though, is for the Panthers, they don't have that playoff pedigree that Miami does, right? Miami last season in the conference finals, and then, you know, 2 years prior to that, we're in the NBA finals in their own right here, which is kind of why I'm a little more open to the way people talk about. It's kind of funny. The way people talk about the Miami Heat is how I feel like about the Florida Panthers as things sit. Like, it's pretty incredible that the Florida Panthers right now are down 2-0 in the series and are minus 550. And you compare that to the NBA Finals where the Heat are down 2-1 with the next game in their building and it's a minus 1,200 number sat on Denver.
Yes, and it's the dichotomy of two sports there, too. And also, how about this? Every single game, the Denver Nuggets are going to be favorites here. You actually at least get the Florida Panthers now on home ice as favorites for them. But when you're breaking down the series and what you actually see, it just looks like Vegas is the much, much better team from start to finish in both of those games. And home ice advantages, when you type George Kurtz on, it doesn't mean all that much here. So Vegas just looks like they're faster, better. I don't know what changes outside of Bobrovsky's just standing on his head and shutting them out completely, which I don't think can happen.
And that's right now one of the biggest things here is just how offensively dominant we've seen Vegas be. 7 goals in game 2, 5 goals in game number 1. We're going to go through the odds here, but we're going to start it off with some same game parlays. DRS, make it happen.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet, simple here. Last time in the NHL playoffs. Yeah, come on, we're cashing tickets here. You know who my guy is? It's Jonathan Marchessault. So, see you at Club Live, Kevin. Because you know why? I don't even think this series actually goes back to Vegas here, which means we are going to pop bottles. You remember when the Dallas Mavericks closed out the Miami Heat and Mark Cuban's in there dropping hundreds of thousands of dollars on champagne at Club Live? It could be that same thing tonight. But look, a plus 336 price might not get you into Club Live and get bottle service, but it'll get you at least a Coors Light tonight, Kevin. Why? The Vegas Golden Knights on the money line tonight and Jonathan Marchessault to score an anytime goal at a plus 336 price. And a lot of people have messaged me behind the scenes. Donnie, didn't really know how good Jonathan Marchessault was until you brought him to my attention. Here he is on the biggest stage performing well. Thank me. Thank you. Let's go get it. Live. Club Live tonight, K-Dub. We'll be there.
Radio Welcome makes the same game parlay cut here, Sirius XM Channel 159. Kevin Walls, Donnie Wrightside. We bring the radio audience here. How about this one, Donnie? I'm very proud of the name. It's the 1-2 switcheroo. The Panthers, first period team total over half a goal.
Oh my goodness.
The Vegas Knights team total over half a goal in the second period, Donnie. I like the Panthers to get it done in the first. I like the Knights to get it done in the second. It's a plus 136 for the 1-2 switcheroo. Come on now.
That's the way to do it, man. I mean, we are ready to party. It's hockey time in South Florida. I mean, by the way, do they even know the Heat are even in the finals here with all the actual excitement here for the Florida Panthers? Looking forward to the game tonight. But again, I think it's going to be one of those where the Vegas Golden Knights steal it Maybe a 4-0 sweep in the finals here.
One, I can't believe that you didn't kind of go the other way with that and be like, is anybody going to even be at this game as they prepare for game four of the NBA Finals? I feel like that usually would be the
Willie.
That would be, I mean, listen, it'd be nice to see, right? I mean, show a little face here. Let's get in the deal.
Now, would he kick the puck?
I also have to say.
What would he do?
I mean, you know what? Honestly, they probably wouldn't let him out of fear that he would, like, slip on the ice. I know they, like, do the little carpet gimmick and, like, it's not supposed to be dangerous, Donnie, but I quite frankly, wouldn't let him out there on the ice. Can you skate?
Let me tell you something. Yes, I can. If he puts on a pair of Adidas, Kevin, they drop the puck, and he dribbles it down with his feet and kicks it in the goal, I mean, come on now.
You might be in. Are you in?
I might be in on it, man. Number 10 jerseys all over the place. By the way, Jimmy Butler wear a number 10 jersey for Messi yesterday. Did I get that correct? Or did I just see things?
I mean, I don't know if 1 + 1 = 2.
Man,
he did have
I might be in on this.
He did have, I mean, it's a big face coffee jersey though, like the big face, or I don't know, big face clothing brand. I don't know how that all works there for him, but he's got. I just also would like to say it is incredible how quickly you are willing to jump ship during any given series. Like, you had the Panthers money line in game two, and now you are calling for a sweep.
Yeah.
Like, it is unbelievable how much you're like, wait, what just happened? All right,
winds are blowing out here, K-Dubs. The winds are blowing out here. Remember that.
Yeah, NBA headlines are next. These will be good.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to right here on SportsGrid. Big news yesterday in the NBA around the Phoenix Suns point guard, Chris Paul. There was also some interesting reporting. The NBA's biggest reporter, I do believe, is Adrian Wojnarowski. Sham Strania not far behind. Chris Haynes also is somewhere right near that upper echelon. There's plenty of other guys that break news. But the one thing is, you know, sometimes, oh, this guy gets this story. All right, this guy gets this one. All right, they're both reporting on it, but it's kind of, you know, similar information, pretty straightforward. Yesterday, a little bit more of a mixed bag. Chris Haynes was first to report that the Phoenix Suns had notified Chris Paul that they would be waiving him and they would be moving on from CP3 this offseason. And Haynes then went on to say, kind of speaking with Chris Paul, the plan is that he's going to play for a number of years, which makes all the sense in the world. But then Shams Charania came out and said, actually, a lot is on the table right now. They could trade him. If they waive him, they're going to stretch the contract out to lessen the cap hit. And there's a whole bunch of different things that could take place there. And Woj then even kind of went on the top and said, it's in play that they waive Chris Paul and then bring him back on a lesser deal. Where, again, if you go back to that initial report, Donnie, from Chris Haynes, it says that Chris Paul is gone, right? But these other guys are basically saying, not so fast. We might see a trade materialize here. It's a little interesting to me right now. Not as, you know, cut and dry. They do have until the 28th of June, where then all of a sudden the CP3 $30 million contract would become fully guaranteed to sort things out here. And I do think Chris Paul, Adrian Wojnarowski went on to say, oh, he wants to stay in Phoenix. Yeah, I think he wants to stay in Phoenix on a $30 million deal. If they do cut him, waive him, I then think it's fair game and it's open across the board here. But now we are inching closer to CP3 being waived by the Phoenix Suns.
Let's take a look at two point guards in the NBA, Kevin, in this NBA free agency / offseason. One is James Harden. The Philadelphia 76ers putting on the full court press to bring him back here. Houston, we'll see if he goes down to the Rockets. But granted, he played in Philadelphia. Every single thing coming out of the Sixers organization is, we got to get James Harden back. And then you flip it over to Phoenix, and Phoenix goes, hey, call their camp up. Why? Tell them we're going to waive or cut him. They don't want him there. They don't want him back here. And also, if you're Chris Paul in his camp, you're trying to tell me now with all the money that's floating around in the NBA that Chris Paul might be able to get his hands on, he's going to be waived and be so much happier to come back at a fraction of what he was supposed to be making from the Phoenix Suns here. There is no chance that Chris Paul comes back to the Phoenix Suns on a lesser deal and doing a team-friendly option going, hey, guys, you're supposed to pay me $30 million. Boy, it's awesome just getting about $12 million now. Thanks. I can't wait to really put the screws to everybody else in the NBA Western Conference because I'm really happy with this deal. There's no shot that that happens. Either you're right, he's getting paid his full amount and he'd be happy to play for the Phoenix Suns, or cut him loose and let him get the best check he can from anybody else in the NBA. There's no way he's going back to the Suns on a lesser deal. It doesn't even make sense.
So I guess the because I have a similar reaction to you. And you know, and again, the Woj reporting was that Chris Paul's team hopes Phoenix can make a decision soon so they can kind of be active in their approach in free agency there. And I do think that if they waive him, it's not going to be, all right, hey, let me get back to Phoenix. It's going to be like, all right, I got to take every phone call and I got to see every option. I got to look at the Lakers. I got to look at the Bucks. I got to look at the Celtics. I got to look at the Sixers. I got to look at every team on the board. But a world where Phoenix was supposed to give him 30, right? I guess, you know, he's going to get that 15.8. But if they do waive him, they basically made it very clear they're going to stretch that money. So it's going to take a little bit, I think, for Chris Paul to get that full dollar amount there. But they can't bring Chris Paul back for another $15 million. Like, hold on a minute. We're paying Chris Paul more money than we were supposed to here. This doesn't even make any sense. There's kind of almost a cap on how much money they would be willing to give Chris Paul. I will say, though, there should be plenty of interest in Chris Paul. I think that for especially that top of the Eastern Conference and maybe Milwaukee most specific, there should be a desire to bring in a CP3. I think he would be great for that team. I also think he'd be great for the Celtics. It's tough to tell what kind of contract, though, Chris Paul's going to command. And also, you know, not super different than kind of something we just hit on with DeAndre Hopkins here. Is Chris Paul looking for a multi-year deal, Donnie, right? He says that doesn't have plans to retire soon. Is CP3 seeking a 3-4 year contract? If so, that gets very interesting.
Absolutely. And he's probably going to get that here because in the NBA, if you can play somewhat decent basketball and you have the credentials that Chris Paul has, even though he's getting older and injured, there's always a market for you. We're shocked when we look at James Harden, what he can actually command on the open market. What? You can't give him that. All it takes, Kevin, is for one team to give him that money that he's looking for here. I think Chris Paul will get it somewhere, but you're right. If he's looking to get on a contender here, Milwaukee makes a lot of sense. And also, do they run it back, maybe? The Philadelphia 76ers, if they get James Harden, Chris Paul going back and forth here? Who knows? But if Chris Paul just wants to make the right move for his career and win a championship, a team is going to love that, especially if he comes at the affordability of a one-year contract. Whew, they would sign him up right away. I don't think that's going to be the case. He's probably looking long-term.
In other Western Conference point guard news, Ja Morant. His camp has put out that the gun in the most recent Instagram Live video, not the first Instagram Live video, the most recent one, was a toy gun. All right. There is some wild speculation, Donnie, about the games that will be there for Ja Morant. I've seen 30. I've seen at least half the season. Adam Silver was So, again, here's the one thing I will say about this. I've never been more aware that I was wrong faster than when we talked about this story initially. Because your initial read, Donnie, was he should just come out and say what the suspension is. I was like, nah, I get it. They're trying to, you know, make sure that it's not going to take away from the NBA Finals coverage. And then he is on the ESPN NBA Finals desk, right, with that crew to do a little interview, and they're asking him about Ja Morant, pressing him for an answer. You were 100% right that the second he did that, it is now a lingering thing that anytime anybody sees him, they absolutely have to ask him about. So this Ja Morant stuff here, and by the way, the more you do this, now leads to silliness like this. Was the more evidence that they uncovered the fact that it was a toy gun with Ja Morant in the car, Donnie?
Let's take this the long approach here, right? You're right about it. The NBA comes out and says Ja Morant suspended for 50 games. We talk about it for 24 hours away. We go to the NBA Finals, and we'll pick that up the rest of the summer. But now you're seeing Adam Silver being asked these questions. But let's also identify the root cause of this as well. If you are Adam Silver in the NBA, and you come out and say, look, this press conference, I'm not talking about it anymore. After the NBA Finals again, we'll reinvent the wheel, basically, and bring this back and open up it, and we'll tell you what the suspension is going to be, which also meant there probably should be a gag order from the Memphis Grizzlies, number one, and also from Ja Morant and his camp here. Ja Morant's camp in the middle of the NBA Finals, stoking the fire, going, you can't suspend this guy, man. He was a toy gun. I'm Adam Silver. I call a press conference today and say, you know what? The simple fact that they actually came out and said that that was a toy gun and the suspension probably could be less, I'm going to bang you for double the games that you had, because if your camp is so stupid to actually believe that it even makes a difference if it's a real gun or a tour gun that you're flashing around, when your whole issue is here waving real guns around and not acting appropriate to what the NBA demands actually are, you should get double the suspension if your actual camp says and you believe that it's a fake gun. That's not even the point in all this, which leads me to believe, again, Ja's camp and Ja Morant have no idea what the suspension is actually out and why he should be suspended. It's like a comedy to them, and they should really come down stronger now.
The world where it's like, oh, come on, why would he have a toy gun? Like, why
in the
would
car.
That be a thing?
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Like, why would that, like, the defense of, like, listen, it's a state where you're allowed to have a firearm with you. It's a legal firearm, right? Like, that's a whole different thing. The world where they're like, it's a Nerf gun, essentially. I mean, it might look dangerous, but come on. What are you even up at arms about here? It's essentially, it's a kid's item. Oh.
They use them in movies all the time, Kevin. What's the big deal?
I am. Major League Baseball coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball time right here on Sports Grid DRS as we continue to go through the options here on the board. We know the Thursday cards are often a little bit lighter here in Major League Baseball. Potential some doubleheaders on the slate as well. As always, though, just, you know, because we don't have a full Major League Baseball kind of recap of the night before here, did anything result-wise, performance-wise, stand out to you from yesterday's baseball board?
It's got to be the Los Angeles Dodgers, who like to get out to leads and then completely collapse against the Cincinnati Reds. But also, just talking about the Reds, a fun Major League Baseball team to watch now. Good young talents coming up. Some impressive, the number one overall prospect in baseball is actually coming up and living up to the hype right off the bat. That's a pretty good story out of there. And then, of course, we get back to Rays baseball, Kevin. I mean, winning games 2-1. Isn't that what the Rays do here? Try to stop the Rays here at 45-19, 28-6 at home. It's just what they do. But some really good times in Major League Baseball around yesterday. But again, the Reds-Dodgers series, a lead. There's no lead big enough now, apparently, for the Los Angeles Dodgers that their bullpen can't blow.
Yeah, I also wanted to add just a tremendous day at the dish for Juan Soto. 5 at-bats, 5 hits, a double, and 4 RBIs, batting .330 over his last 30 days here. Soto's batting average has been underwhelming for a little bit now, and I'm talking about going back to last season here when it comes for Juan Soto. And not that one game changes it, but it's been the last month here. And this is what this San Diego team needs. If we agree that we are still early in the Major League Baseball season, a team as talented as the Padres will have enough time to turn it around, but it has to start soon, and a performance like that from Juan Soto will certainly go a long way. Let's start it off, though, Donnie, with those LA Dodgers that you mentioned, as this is an early day baseball game here on the East Coast. 12:35 first pitch here, -225 number on the Dodgers on the road. Big time total checks in at a 10.
Big time total should be there. It's a small ballpark. And again, for the third straight day, very good weather conditions there, Kevin. Mid 70s by the time first pitch, wind blowing out the right field. We're probably going to see a lot of runs today. But then again, yesterday, like, Noah Syndergaard was on the mound for the Dodgers. And if you saw him pitch this year, he's certainly a shell of his former self. Even saying before this most recent start, which was bad, look, I'm the weakest link on this team right now. And he certainly showed that yesterday. Now, Clayton Kershaw is going to be on the mound today. He's got some very good numbers, but you really want to focus in on the Dodger bats going up against Ashcraft today, who's got a high xFIP number over the past 30 days to the tune of a 5.18 K percentage. Not good. And how about this, Kevin? Equal opportunity all across the board for the Dodgers. Why? Lefty splits here. 51 batters that Ashcraft has faced. Keep in mind, he's a right-handed pitcher. A 490 weighted on base percentage and ISO of 271. Doesn't get much better there for righties either. 71 plate appearances there. 388 weighted on base percentage. ISO power number of 258. The number is warranted on the minus 225. Maybe Kershaw can give them much better than what their starting pitchers have given them and bullpen the past couple days. But that 10, that's no surprise. That's not indicative of how we think Kershaw is going to pitch today. It's just that the games have been absolutely off the charts wild the past two.
Yeah, look, when you see a big total like that, though, and again, obviously the expectation there for the Dodgers, it's a team total of a six. Mm-hmm. It's just Kershaw is supposed to be a dominant pitcher this season. It is that number a little too big? Last performance out is phenomenal, right? Up against the New York Yanks, seven innings of work and just four hits allowed, only two runs, and two of those were both a pair of solo shots there. So we'll see how Kershaw kind of performs in those elements. Moving on, though, it is the Tampa Bay Rays. You mentioned some lower scoring baseball. Well, how about this total, Donnie? Check it in. It's Tampa Bay Rays style, about a 7.5 from what I can see here. Rays, Twins, where do you see the value in this baseball game?
Yeah, Glasnow very limited here in the season so far. His xFIP numbers 2.58 are very, very good, but he's only faced 42 batters, actually putting away right-handed batters, but really struggling to start the season with some lefties. He'll get his fair share of lefties in the lineup today, so hard to grade Glasnow because we don't have enough background here. Ober's been good, 4.73 xFIP, which is a little bit high, but take a look at his splits, Kevin. Not bad. 261 weighted on base percentage of lefties, 308 to righties. We do know that lineup is very good for the Tampa Bay Rays, but as you said, Kevin, you can't be full gas all season long through April, May, June, July, August, and September. And for a while there, every time you brought up the Tampa Bay Rays lineup, it really profiled well. That's not the case anymore. Take a look at this. More Rays baseball, as you said, just like the way they won yesterday. If we're profiling this lineup today that we anticipate against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days, only two players in that lineup with positive ISO power numbers. So that shift is complete now. We were looking at 6, 7, and 8 batters with high ISO numbers depending on what split you were looking at. Now it's back down a little bit lower, more Rays like offense slash pitching matchups here.
Well, man, this Tampa Bay team though, still 45-19 mm-hmm. on the season. Yeah. DRS. Hey, you know, the one thing though, I will say, they have a 6.5 game lead over Baltimore right now, and if you look at that, it's the biggest lead that anybody has in Major League Baseball. But Baltimore has the second best record in Major League Baseball. It is still just incredible, the gap that Tampa. Now, again, when you still have 100 games left in a season, right, it's not to say that 6.5 is insurmountable. But it is so impressive, the start that Tampa Bay has built themselves on. They're another 5-game win streak here for this team. They just continue to get the job done on a regular basis. We'll see if that continues here today. Orioles Brewers next up on the slate. This was a big-time Milwaukee win yesterday here as they went up and won 10-2 at home against the Baltimore Orioles. Today, it's a road favorite status here for the O's. Total's 8.5. What do you think of this number?
Yeah, they're going to get 9 at-bats today, being a road team, which is what you like. You get the full use of the 27 outs, and the reason I bring that up is here, maybe it's a fade here of Ray on the mound, the right-handed pitcher. xFIP over the past 30 days, a 4.81, but get this, he's been very good against right-handed batters. To the tune, he's faced 58, Kevin, 257 weighted on base percentage, ISO of 120. So the focus is going to be on us here for the Baltimore Orioles and the left-handed bats. As many as 5 should be in the lineup today, which includes four out of 5 batters in the lineup: Hicks, Santander, Rutschman, and Frazier. Between switch hitters and true left-handed batters, 4 of those 5 will be from the left-hand side. That's where you're going to get your RBI chances to come from here in this game. If I'm being honest, and you flip it over to Milwaukee side, nobody ever in that lineup technically scares you. Yes, Yelich is very good. Rowdy Tellez can get a hold of a pitch every once in a while, but Bradish should be on the mound. He's not a great pitcher, Kevin. Over the past month in Major League Baseball, 4.66 xFIP number, but take a look at this. His splits are very good. ISO power number here, 082 to lefties, 143 to righties, weighted on base percentage, 250 to lefties, weighted on base percentage to righties, 283. I do give a slight lean here to the Baltimore Orioles because I think their lefty bats will be able to step up today.
All right, check in there and see if the lefties can make it happen. Mm-hmm. Again, a road favorite status for Baltimore. Just think about where that team was a couple of years, not even a couple of years ago, last year. I mean, I know last year was kind of when they turned it around, but the way Baltimore numbers used to look, just a different baseball team, they've earned that respect. Giants-Rockies yesterday, a great example. A great example. One taught to me by Donnie Rideside of why you love a team total. The Rockies, yesterday's team total, you get a 3.5 on that number. 4-0 Colorado. Turn the game off. I don't need to see any more of this. 5-4, San Francisco wins the game. You can't take that money away. Rockies get the job done, except they lost. Today, they're supposed to lose again, as Alex Cobb has the baseball against Chase Anderson. If memory serves, DRS, Chase Anderson is one of those guys where the ERA looks great and all the underlying numbers look awful.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what you're going to get out of them today. By the way, weather conditions here again, similar to what they've been the past couple days. Rain in the forecast. We'll see if it hits. We'll see if it misses here. But Cobb's on the mound, the much better pitcher. But also, it is Colorado. You're not pitching in the same circumstances as you would, just say, pitching at home in San Francisco. We'll see how it plays out. Not a great lineup here for the Rockies, but you're right, yesterday, a huge comeback win for the San Francisco Giants. We'll see how that rolls over to today. But if we take a look at Anderson here, take a look at this, Kevin. 5.83 xFIP, which is disastrous. And usually what that means in Colorado is you better be striking batters out, because if the ball gets in play there in that thin air, that's going to be troublesome. He only strikes out close to 11% of the batters that he's faced. But look at his splits here. Doesn't make sense. Chase Anderson's a right-handed pitcher with that high xFIP. You figure left-handed batters are probably torching him at the plate. Not the case. 37 batters over the past month in Major League Baseball, 221. Weighted on base percentage, ISO of 091. Something doesn't add up here. I still would lean towards the San Francisco Giants today, but you are paying a heavy price at Coors, which you saw yesterday. You thought you had one of the pitchers that might be contending for a Cy Young and had them on the ropes at 4-0 and still lost. Why? Because that's what happens with Coors Magic here. No lead is safe through any part of that game until it is actually over. I still think the Giants will handle their business. 11.5, it's really just hard to go under out there in Colorado, so I'll stay off of that one, but I do think the Giants handle their business today.
It is incredible. Such an anomaly. Like, sometimes, like, I feel like we need to take a minute, stop, and just appreciate what is Coors Field. That, again, I know we've made this comparison, Donnie, but could you imagine if every single game in Denver had a total of 250.5? It's just like, that's just like with the Nuggets I'm talking about there, right? Like, yes. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, imagine if that's how it was. Imagine if in an NFL game, it's like, listen, every single time the Broncos are home, the over under there is, listen, 61 and a hook. Like, yeah. I mean, listen, where were they playing the games? In Mexico City, Donnie? Is that what those over unders were? 250 runs and a half there?
I do. The fact that you said the 250, I knew exactly what you were meaning, being the Denver Nuggets, but you had to come back and say, no, you had to,
clean it up.
That's pretty good stuff. That got me a good laugh out of that one. Like, yeah, he might actually think I'm talking about baseball 250. That's pretty good.
Because I said Denver, like, as if that, you know what I mean?
I knew where you were going.
The whole deal.
Who didn't know?
No, you got it.
I mean, come on now.
Well, I don't know. You know what? Yeah. You know what?
Scrambling for graphics.
You know what?
Running down.
Throwing somebody else under the bus here. This is nice. Is this what it's like to be on the other side of this? Get him, Donnie. Get him. Tune him up here, baby. Let's go. We got a doubleheader on the slate, potentially. We'll break that down now.
Yes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here on the early run. A doubleheader today, right? With the Yankees and the White Sox. I guess we'll see what is supposed to take place here. If it is to happen, though, the Yanks will be a favorite in both of these games. The first featuring Luis Severino and Lance Lynn, about a minus 180 number right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total, Donnie, is an 8.
Now, Kev, let's start with here. The game was canceled yesterday.
Let me just start with this.
Quality.
Hold on. Let me cut you off. Let me cut you off right there.
Come on.
No. I'm going to tell you this right now. If you do what you always do, I'm not going to let it get through, and I will keep cutting you off. So,
look,
I'm just letting you know that.
I'm telling you, look, this is very PG here. We're a family-oriented show, and I have great ideas all the time, Kevin. smartest, probably richest city in the world yesterday. We had air quality issues. There's two choices you could make. You reach out to the Yankees fans and you say to yourselves, you guys are fans. Everybody bring a fan to the game. You blow the air quality around, it improves. Or, Kevin, we know there's a lot of bigwigs in the city with helicopters. You fly a couple helicopters over there a few hours before the game, crystal clear conditions out here. Give me your thoughts on that. Two of them. Can make it happen.
Yeah, a pair of terrible thoughts that are not to be taken serious, but much better than the usual Donnie. Much better than your usual approach of going, Kevin told me during the break that he thinks they should have played yesterday, which is what I had to get out in front of. And I need
right in there.
Yeah, no, that text does not exist whatsoever, okay? The only text I got from Donnie yesterday is, give me two segments for baseball. And he's got two segments.
Exactly.
We've got two Yankees-White Sox games. Donnie, what do you think here, Severino, Lance Lynn?
I actually like the first game. I think makes a little bit of sense here. You're lining up Severino here, a very high xFIP number, Kevin, over the past 30 days, a 5.28, but he also really struggles with right-handed bats. We'll see if this game does play today, but if I want to check the weather conditions, they were good yesterday, outside of actually the weather conditions, technically, for the air and smoke inhalation, whatever it was, but the wind was blowing out yesterday in warm temperatures. Just trying to see, it's 72 degrees, wind blowing out once again to right field, so they do play it. It's optimum conditions there to see if we can get some home runs into that short porch. Now, having said that, Chicago White Sox batters, Kevin, they just haven't woken up yet. And I agree, I'm not going to trust them to say, you know what? Now's the time they really step up. But you know who can step up here? The left-handed batters from the New York Yankees today going up against Lance Lynn, a 5X whip over the past 30 days. Now, hear this. The Yankees have some very good right-handed batters, but that's not where I'm looking today because Lynn has been sensational over the past month against right-handed bats. 64 plate appearances, a .215 weighted on base percentage, and a .107 ISO power number. But take a look at lefties, Kevin. A .501 weighted on base percentage, a .351 ISO power number. If they play today, warmer conditions, wind blowing out the right field, you're taking a look at Rizzo, you're taking a look at Calhoun, you're taking a look at Bowers there in the lineup. It's just a shame we don't have more lefties in the lineup today for the New York Yankees because they should be able to hit from the left side against Lance Lynn.
Last time we saw Severino, he was absolutely rocked by the Los Angeles Dodgers. Seven earned runs in four innings, three home runs. Absolutely crushed. We'll see if he can bounce back. The other game, Vasquez Clevinger. Yanks a favorite. About a -140 number. Totals a 9 for that game. DRS, I know that you usually don't love getting after doubleheaders. I imagine this is difficult here without knowing again. Because starting lineups, you would think, aren't going to be 100% the same for both games, right?
Also, and getting back to a bigger notion here, Kevin, on the air quality, let's understand what's probably going to take place today because it's still smoky in the New York Northeastern area, Kevin. Yesterday, what do we have? One game and we couldn't play. So we're going to play two full games?
Good point.
In, let's just say the air
really
quality is a little bit better than it was yesterday. I don't think this is going to take place today. But if you are betting the first game for me, even though you're right, the second game we don't know, the first game actually is better for the pitchers to try to line up in the second game and just worrying about those lineups there. But let's be real. We're probably wasting our time a little bit talking about these games, and we'll probably continue to talk about them. But I'm not so sure a doubleheader is in the cards here for New York.
Out of curiosity, I'm not going to belabor this because you're right. We might be spending too much time on games that aren't going to happen, therefore we won't be able to bet on them, right? But do they ever schedule a doubleheader and then play one of the games? Like, is there a world where things clear enough by the night, Don, and they're like, all right, we're going to play one game here, and the doubleheader thing was a total mistake? Because in what world do you go out there then and send everybody out there for, 8 hours in the conditions?
Yeah, it's a one that you don't see that often, and it would be very rare that they would cancel the first game and wait on the second. But then again, it might not be the worst option to say, we're just going to cancel one of the games. We'll try to play the late game. But again, a doubleheader, if there's any weather conditions to worry about. And yesterday, at least it was one game. Hey, we'll see if we can get through it and see how we do it. A doubleheader, I don't know if that's going to happen.
All right, we'll push it forward here. Zach Wheeler's got the ball for the Philadelphia Phillies against the Detroit Tigers. A -260 number on the Phils. This is a lower total, I feel, though, than we've seen throughout this series, which is 7.5. The FanDuel Sportsbook has the Tigers listed at TBD. What do you see here with Philadelphia and Detroit?
This will be the interesting thing, because if it is Holton the lefty, Kevin, take a look at his statistics over the past month in Major League Baseball. I don't think the Detroit Tigers are very good, but this guy could be a little bit of a kryptonite here to the Phillies offense. A 4.02 xFIP, which is average, a K rate that is over 20%, but look at the splits here, Kevin. Left-handed pitcher Holton against 24 left-handed batters over the past month, a 188 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 043. That usually mean like he probably gets tagged a little bit by right-handed bats. That's not the case either. A weighted on base percentage of 271 and an ISO of 077. This series looks like it's staying under the total, and Zach Wheeler should blow away that Detroit Tigers lineup. Would I look towards the Phillies? Yes. A 260 price to want to pay? No, I don't here. But the 7.5, that makes sense.
All right, so there you go. Looks like it could be an under then in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Astros, Blue Jays, by the way, just because I wasn't here for it, so I just want to bring this up. But the fact that Alek Manoah went from trash-talking Gerrit Cole at the highest level and is now playing baseball at the lowest level is certainly a life-comes-at-you-fast kind of situation here. Framber Valdez is a road favorite for the Astros against Jose Berríos here. Minus 116 on the FanDuel Sportsbook for Houston, so not a big edge right now. Total's an 8.
Yeah, Toronto's been pitching very well, I should say here. But by the way, the better pitcher on the mound today, that's going to come from the Houston Astros. Take a look at this, Kevin. An xFIP of 2.73, that is elite. A strikeout percentage of 30%. A walk percentage under 5%. That's Framber Valdez, the left-handed pitcher for the Houston Astros over the past 30 days, and it gets even better. When we talk about splits again, some people might be new to the show and watching it. Donnie, what do you mean by talking about weighted on base percentage and ISO power numbers? If you are a pitcher, a weighted on base percentage of 325 or less is you doing your job. To lefties, a 277, that's perfect. To righties, a 225. You take a look at the ISO power numbers, somewhere in that 170 range. If you keep that below that as a pitcher, you're doing your job. To lefties, Kevin, an 083. To righties, a 111. If we're just looking at the MO of this series so far for me, it's keeping the under rolling when good pitchers are on the mound. We'll see what we get out of Berríos, because he's technically opposite here with his xFIP number than what we just talked about with Valdez at a 5.23, but his splits are actually very good between lefty and righty batters. If we're looking at the 8, it takes 9 to beat me. I'll lean on the 8 and go under today in this game.
Berríos is also a guy, though, that has turned it around. This was a guy that was a target for you plenty times last season. First two starts, gave up 12 earned runs between those two baseball games. You look at his last, I think it's 6 times out there now. Only once has he given up more than 2 earned runs. He's really started to line it up here nicely and be the guy that Toronto had acquired a couple of years ago at the deadline here. Mets, Braves. Mets have lost 5 in a row, Donnie. Not going to get much easier when you got Spencer Strider on the mound for the Atlanta Braves. What stands out to me, though, is it's Strider and Verlander, and the total's an 8.5. Is that a little weather-inducing here? So ball maybe supposed to fly out tonight in Atlanta?
It's a good point you bring up, too, yesterday, Kevin, because as we looked in Atlanta, he said, whoa, Max Scherzer is actually pitching really well. A 9.5 is a total. What gives? Yeah, it's a ballpark there that is conducive to hitting once that ballpark heats up. Take a look at it again today. 81 degrees, Kevin, which is what you want to look for. How about this? Double-digit winds blowing out dead center field. That's why you're getting that, not because the pitchers who we think are going to have a bad performance. And by the way, in the anticipated lineup today, Alonso got hit with a pitch. He's not anticipated to be out there. I don't know who is going to be hitting here for the New York Mets today, because Strider, a 3.62 xFIP, but the thing we always look at from him, Kevin, close to a 40% K rate at just over 100 batters. Crazy. That he's faced here over the past month. You're taking a look at the Atlanta lineup, it does profile much, much better here against Verlander, but Verlander has been solid after getting rocked 2 starts ago, had a nice bounce back start. I'd look more towards the under in this game overall, because I think Strider is really going to ramp it up tonight against the Mets lineup.
Yeah, it makes plenty of sense. His strikeout prop for this game is 8.5. It is plus money to the over, but he's minus 170 to strike out 8 batters, which is certainly saying something. The one thing is, and again, it's every time here, but from a trend perspective, 20-10-1 the Braves are in terms of home games going over the listed total. So there have been a number of overs this season in Atlanta. Yep. That 8.5 does jump off the page, though, when you look at the names that are on the mound here. And then lastly, it's the Angels and the Cubs. Detmers has the ball against Smiley. The total is a 9. The Los Angeles Angels, if I can just stop here for a quick second, I know we got to get to the game, but 33-30, Donnie, right? We've got less than 2 months now until we're going to get to the deadline here. With the amount of teams that make the playoffs, it does not feel like the Angels are going to be so bad that it's like, hey, we're obviously not legit. We got to move on from Ohtani. But in a similar fashion, is anybody viewing the Angels as a real threat to make a real run? I feel like the answer is no. And of course, I bring that all up because of how much reporting has been made of the fact that Ohtani will leave if this team doesn't contend at a high level. I feel like the conversation on the Angels, ooh, they're having a nice season. Is 33-30 really good enough?
No, it's not good enough because, and almost like you look at the 33-30, Kevin, and we're so conditioned for the Angels. Hey, man, that's really good for them. What are you talking about? Yeah. Two of the best three players in Major League Baseball reside on your team, and you're happy with being 500. And we know how it plays out, right? Mike Trout, calf injury. We don't see him for the next 3 months here. And away we go talking about Ohtani getting traded into the offseason. But having said that, they're playing the Cubs, and they're playing well against the Cubs at this point, Kevin. And you weren't on the show the other day because I had a team total in the Chicago Cubs to go over 4.5. Still angry at the Cubs, where they scored four runs in the second inning and didn't score the rest of the way, which led me all the way up till midnight tweeting it out when I got to wake up at 4:30 in the morning. So they're on my you-know-what list at this point here. But Devers is another left-hander on the mound. They do profile extremely well, talking about the Cubs against left-handed pitchers. But today, I don't think it's going to be a big deal for Devers. 310 weighted on base percentage against right-handed batters with an 091 ISO. Everybody in that lineup today for the Cubs, Kevin, is going to be from the right-handed side. That plays right into what Detmers does well. If you flip it over to the other side, Smiley's on the mound for the Cubs, a 5.18 xFIP number. Look, I'm not trusting the Cubs at the plate at all right now, and that's going to continue tonight for me.
All right, I will just say, and because I saw you tweet out the radar, I was like, oh, I wonder what the team total is. And then I was just kind of, you were like, boy, did the Cubs just ruin my night. And I saw they landed at 4. I'm like, oh, let's take a look. You know, I then go through the play-by-play. As I've told Donnie this many times, I root on the Donnie team totals always. 4 runs through 2 innings and you need 5. That should not happen. That should absolutely never, ever happen. That is an ugly, ugly scene. We will see if they're able to bounce back here against Reed Detmers and co. The Cubs had a really nice start to their season, too, by the way. And now all of a sudden, 26-35, awful on the road this season. Look, it's been a jam-packed day here on the early line. The NBA Finals right now sit at 2-1 to the Denver Nuggets. And a lot of people are asking, will today at Coors Field feature 250 runs scored? Yes. It's a question that only time will tell. But also time will tell you to listen up here as Donnie Wrightside closes out another edition of the early line right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day here for Thursday edition of the Early Line on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh today on Thursday, bringing you all the topics you needed to know from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to Ben Stevens in the morning after, which Kevin will be a part of for the first hour. So don't go anywhere. Make sure you keep the dial right here on SiriusXM. Now, let's have some fun and talk about some of the topics that we had today. A lot of Major League Baseball yesterday did very well in props yesterday after a bounce-back performance from, I'll still talk about the Chicago Cubs for probably the remaining parts of this week. But having said that, there's a new slate today, afternoon action. It will be interesting to see if, one, the Philadelphia Phillies do play their game against the Detroit Tigers, which was canceled yesterday due to air quality, and also the Yankees in New York City here canceled their game, scheduled doubleheader today. We'll see if that one goes off as well. Stanley Cup Finals preview here, game number 3. We had some great same-game parlays put in the door here, so hopefully we can cash those tickets in. Even talked a little Lionel Messi headed to Inter Miami and the MLS, and maybe a game-changing move here for American soccer. But let's get to what really matters here. The NBA Finals game number 3 last night, Nikola Jokic was outrageous. Listen up. Be quiet. 32-21-10. Outrageousness for a game 3 pivotal win for the Denver Nuggets on the road in Miami. We always thought the Denver Nuggets, probably the more talented team, right? Nikola Jokic, back-to-back MVPs, quite frankly, could have won a third this year. clear and away the best player here in the NBA playoffs. Night-to-night basis, he is absolutely putting up filthy numbers that we anticipate on a night-to-night basis. That's the crazy part. Oh, Jokic had another triple-double? Yeah, that's what he's supposed to do. Oh, Jokic went for 32, 21, and 10. Jamal Murray also had a triple-double last night. But the only thing we want to focus on, and rightfully so, is what Jokic is actually doing on the court. One of the more dominant appearances that you can have in the biggest moments, turning the tide back in your favor for the Denver Nuggets. Sensational to watch it play out. I even bet it yesterday. I'm just ashamed. I didn't even go up more up the ladder. I took the Denver Nuggets in the double-double market to win. They did it. Stay tuned. Ben Stevens coming up next. Don't go anywhere.